Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thursday night's version of The Scoop. It's DJ Misty here with you for the next hour, and we are going to be discussing everything and anything under the sun. Well, as far as entertainment-wise. And I just wanted to say, hey, this is our, once again, there won't be any shows next week because it's spring break. Yay. So let's get right to it. All right. Well, first of all, does the First Amendment allow you to say the F word on the air? If you aren't sure, you're like most Americans who don't really know their free speech rights. Luckily, Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out, First Amendment campaign will be running from March 12th to the 16th. They will enlighten you with a week of fun prizes, cash prizes, and some cool discussions with really smart people. So, if you're interested, because free speech rocks, like us on Facebook or go to our website, standupsitdownspeakout.com, for scheduled events. And let's get right to it. It's been a really crazy week with the Oscars and the artist winning for Best Picture and Best Actor. So we'll get to that in a moment, but let's first get to some things. And if you haven't heard it yet, here you're hearing it now. As we all know, Whitney Houston died about 3 weeks ago, and a coroner's report came out that Whitney Houston died of a lethal combination of Valium, Xanax, and alcohol. Sources close to the LA investigation office said that Whitney had a lethal induction of Valium, Xanax, and alcohol, which led to her death. And she shouldn't have been in the pool. Coroner is waiting final toxicology results to determine which of the three was the major contributor factor of her demise. The coroner would closely examining Whitney's alcohol blood level at the time she died. The sedatives and alcohol were almost certainly the cause of death and not drowning. Her heart stopped beating because of her respiratory system was suppressed because the anti-anxiety meds combined with the booze which probably happens very quickly, basically was the reason she was found partly submerged in the bathtub. It's really sad, but rest in peace, Whitney. Also, if you're familiar with Daniel Von Bargen, he was Kruger on Seinfeld. He shot himself in an apparent suicide. He called 911 saying, "I shot myself in the head and I need help." He is now in critical condition. And at this time, there is no word on his condition at the moment. Even though he is in critical condition, there's no time if he's going to, you know, turn for the worse or get better. But he was in many films such as Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions, RoboCop 3, Basic Instinct, Broken Arrow, Philadelphia, Silence of the Lambs, The Postman, A Civil Action, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We wish him all the best in his quick recovery. And it looks like the author of the mega selling series, Harry Potter. Yes. She is back. Yes. She has decided to agree to do adult novels. And her first adult novel will be on bookshelves within the year 2014. So, J.J. Rowling, we wish you all the best. And let's hope that you bring some of our favorite friends back to the big screen. We have, let's see, Glee decided that they will not be doing a tour this summer. So all for you Glee fanatics, we wish you. Also, Las Vegas casino mogul wins a 5-year battle against Girls Gone Wild. Yay! Creator. They have decided to, oops. My papers are all messed up. I apologize. Yes, there we go. The ongoing battle between Las Vegas casino mogul Steve Wynn and Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis has finally come to a halt. Following Wednesday's court hearing, Francis is ordered to pay Wynn a sum of $7.5 million in damages. So look for him next week on some spring break because he's going to need to make up that money. Also, Desperate Housewife actress Nicole Sheridan is scheduled to testify Thursday in a courtroom battle with the show's producer, writer over the TV, killing her character that she played for 5 seasons. Sheridan, 48, is locked in a courtroom battle against Mark Cherry and ABC Entertainment, claiming their decision to kill Edie Brett, her character on the show, was wrongful termination of her employment. Well, someone sounds a little bitter. I heard she was difficult to work with. Therefore, if you can't work with someone, why do you want to keep them on the show? Also, Target is pulling a greeting card that makes fun of Whitney Houston's taste in men. Yes, the discount retailer said Wednesday the card was sold in its stores prior to Houston's death on February 11th. And soon as it was brought to the retailer's attention, Target Corporation began the process of removing the card. The card reads, "Next time you're dating the bad boy, consider Whitney Houston." The text refers to Whitney's rocky relationship with her ex-husband, singer Bobby Brown. And the time is 7:10, and we are coming up. As you guys all know, Davy Jones of the Monkees passed away this week. And we're all very, very sad because I like the Monkees. So in his honor, I will be playing a couple of Monkees songs. They're very short, so don't freak out. And here's the first one, The Last Train to Clarksville. Enjoy.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No. Because I'm leaving in the morning and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together till the morning brings my train and I must go. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville. I'll be waiting at the station. We'll have time for coffee, for flavored kisses, and a bit of conversation. No. Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I'm feeling low. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming. Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville.
That was the Monkees. And respect to Davy Jones. Rest in peace, Davy. For all you Monkees fans out there, I know this is a sad occasion because we all wanted a reunion tour. It seems like everyone's now doing reunion tours and they would have been the next logical step. Oh, so anyway, it is Thursday night and you're here with DJ Misty for The Scoop, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And the First Amendment is cool. Without it, there would be no Facebook status updates, no explicit Chris Brown birthday cake lyrics, no vulgar stand-up comedy, and no Daily Show. But if you're like most Americans, you know very little about your free speech rights. So tune in to Penguin Radio this month as we bring you special broadcasts highlighting the First Amendment and its ultimate coolness as part of Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out campaign on campus this month. Once again, that's going to be doing from March 12th to the 16th. like us on Facebook, standupsitdownspeakout.com. All right. And one little thing I forgot to tell you. Taylor Swift is dating hunk Tim Tebow, the NFL quarterback, and her were seen having dinner at an LA restaurant. Ah, I guess Zac Efron was just a little too heavy for her. Also, if you're a Big Bang Theory fan, which is on tonight, the long last beaming up of Leonard Nimoy is going to happen. Sources confirm that the Star Trek icon will fulfill Sheldon's long life dream when he makes a cameo on the show's and on the show on March 29th. But there is a catch. Leonard Nimoy will be heard and not seen. According to an insider, Nimoy will speak to Sheldon as Spock in a dream sequence. Sheldon's obsession with Leonard Nimoy as Spock has been a reoccurring theme on the show. In a classic season 2 episode, Penny gave him a napkin autographed by the sci-fi legend for Christmas. And the second season finale of Downton Abbey posted the biggest audience in nearly 3 years. PBS is doing very well with this show. The total 5.4 million viewers tuned in to Sunday's night 2-hour closer. It was PBS' most watched program since the premiere of Ken Burns' National Park in 2009. Also, Chuck alumni and former Superman Brandon Roth, Elizabeth Regan, and Lucy Davis have joined Michael Urie and Sophia Bush in the cast of CBS half-hour pilot Partners. The multi-camera comedy from Will and Grace creators centers on a lifelong friend's business partner, architect Charlie, who is straight, and Lewis, who is gay. Of course. And let's see, the former alcoholic club hopping model, now a sober vegan nurse, will be played by Elizabeth Regan. So look for that coming to you at a mid-season TV show somewhere soon. Also, Glee's Ryan Murphy is tackling a half-hour comedy show for NBC. He's spreading his wings and spreading them pretty well. With his hit of American Horror Story, he has now become a hot commodity in the TV world. He is bringing his Sensibilities drama starring Kevin Bacon and Grey's Anatomy, Shonda Rhimes, back in business with ABC. And also he's going to be doing something for NBC. Excuse me, I read that wrong. Also, there are a few highlights of pilot season 2012. The shows have been released for pilots coming out from ABC. And just to mention a couple of them, we have American Judy. Yes. A cosmopolitan woman gets married becomes a fish out of water in the suburbs, having to juggle stepkids, her mother-in-law, and her ex-wife of a husband, who also happens to be the town's sheriff. Yes, Judy Greer, Mimi Kennedy, and some people who I don't know will be starring in this. Counterculture. Yes, three aging sisters run their West Texas family diner together, with sibling dynamics getting in the way. Yes, this is another show that's going to be airing on ABC. I can say 2 episodes right now. Also, we have Don Fogelman's untitled alien comedy centers on a family that moves into a converted New Jersey gated community, only to discover that the entire neighborhood is comprised of aliens disguised as humans. That sounds interesting. Also on ABC, you're going to have How to Live with Your Parents for the Rest of Your Life. Polly, a recently divorced single mom, moves in with her eccentric parents, Elaine and Max, a couple who's full of life but knows no bounds. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs will be starring, and this is going to be produced by Brian Glazer and Ron Howard. It's going to be shot on location in Los Angeles. Also, we have Malibu Country. Yes. After her good old boy rock star husband cheats on her and burns through most of their money, Reba divorces him, and moves in with her 3 kids and her mom to Nashville. Yes, we've seen this story before, but it's starring Reba McEntire and Michael Hanna and Pam Williams and Dave Stewart. And that's another show from ABC. ABC is also doing a Mandy Moore untitled pilot. Mandy Moore and another man will play newlyweds get the opportunity of a lifetime to run a hip restaurant. Oh, that sounds boring. That sounds really boring. Why did it do this to us? Let's go on to NBC. What do we have? NBC. Oh, well, we have Beauty and the Beast. I've already mentioned that. A fantasy reimagining classic fairy tale set in a mythical, dangerous world where beautiful and tough princesses discover an unlikely connection with a mysterious beast. We've seen that before. We have Gotham. After pursuing a seemingly unsolvable case, a female cop discovers a magical world that exists within New York City. A world that goes unseen by normal humans, takes all familiar in New York landmarks, and reinvents them into a magical, otherworldly manner. This is going to be shown on the WB, and it looks like it's going to start airing mid-season. But this sounds like it's going to air maybe over the summer to see if people like it. And if it gets picked up, then you'll be able to see it full time. Yes. All right, from CBS, we have 20-something best friends Evan and Rob in a comedy called Friend Like Me. Move from their hometown in Bloomington, Indiana to L.A. and begin their new lives at Groupon. Yeah. Next. Super Fun Night revolves around three nerdy female friends on their fun, comfortable quest to have super fun every Friday night. Sounds like Big Bang for ladies. You know, everything has to come in twos. And we have Trooper, also is going to be on CBS. Common Sense Mother turned New York State Trooper. Yes. This is produced by Jerry Bruckheimer and Warner Brothers. So, I don't know. I don't know why these guys are getting into TV. But anyway. The Sarah Silverman Project revolves around a woman readjusting to a single life following a decade-long live-in relationship. Loosely based on Silverman's life, Sarah Silverman was Kara. Brian Glazer and Ron Howard would produce. Bad Girls, adapted from the long-running UK series. See, we get all of our good stuff from UK. Follow the ins and outs of a group of unlikely women in federal prison. A scandalous female warden, her new protege, and a host of inmates, some mothers, some friends, who struggle with loyalties to people inside and outside. Shot on location in Los Angeles, produced by John Wells and Andrew Stern, Warner Brothers Television. And we have The Goodwin Games, high-concept family comedy about a father who leaves his fortune to his three children only if they've agreed to his terms. Jeez. You know, anyone can write for that. And that's going to be a Fox comedy. Fox. And now we have The CW. All these things are available online. I'm just reading you just the ones that kind of stuck out to me. Arrow, based on a DC Comics title published by DC Entertainment, this hour-long drama, which is going to be in the same vein as Smallville, centers on a modern retelling of Green Arrow. The cast is going to be Stephen Amell, David Ramsey, and Susanna Thompson. This is going to be on the CW, and it's produced by the same guys who did The Vampire Diaries. So look for that next fall. And then you have The Carrie Diaries, which, they had to bring Carrie down to the teenagers. But anyway, based on the novel of Candace Bushnell, a young Carrie Bradshaw comes of age in the 1980s, asking her first questions about love, sex, friendship, and family, while exploring the world of high school and Manhattan. Yeah, that's going to be a flop. Because it's sex in the city without sex in the city. Anyway, Warner Brothers produced television, and look for that once again next year. And let's see, the time is 7:24, and you're listening to DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu, and I'm going to play another song to tribute to Davy Jones. Because it's so sad. It's so sad that he's gone. Anyway, enjoy.
Mm-hmm. sad child, always feeling low down. Tuesday had a dream child, she's always on the go, so I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright. If you love a Wednesday, you live your life apart now. And if you love a Thursday, she's gonna break your heart. So I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you hold her close, you'll see. You can feel the thrill that's gonna be. Now the future has a guarantee. Seven days of the week made to choose from, but only one is right for me. I know that Saturday's got what it takes, babe. I can tell by the way she looks at me. A good wife, she wants to be a bride, so I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright. Saturday's child is my life. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright.
And that was the Monkees with Saturday's Child. Once again, that was in respect to Davy Jones, who passed away over the weekend. And I wish his family all the best. This is really sad. He survived by his wife and four daughters. He died in Florida of a heart attack. So get yourselves checked out there. Also, what are seven dirty words you can't say on TV? Well, we can't say them here either, but if you've laughed at the vintage George Carlin routine or looked it up on YouTube, then you will appreciate humor and free speech. And that means you'll definitely appreciate a free ticket to stand-up comedy at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, March 13th, as part of Dominican's First Amendment campaign, Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out, starting from March 12th to the 16th. Once again, for more information, please go to standupsitdownspeakout.com and click on the free to laugh link to reserve your free ticket. Free speech rocks, especially when it's funny. And the time is 7:27. This is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And, you know, let's go back to some Monkees.
No heartache spells, no longer lonely nights of waiting, finally won me happiness that's all rolled up in you. And now with you as inspiration, I look toward a destination, sunny bright that once before was blue. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. So take my hand, I'll start my journey, free from all the helpless worry that besets a man when he's alone. More strength is mine when we're together, and with you I know I'll never have to pass the high road for the low. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me.
Play, magic finger. ticket, loser.
I had no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. Yes, I love you and I know you love me.
And yes, that was the Monkees with Papa Jean's Blues. Yay. All right. Time is 7:30 and we're going to movie news. Yes. As you know, the Oscars was this weekend and there were some surprises. I really didn't think The Artist was going to take home Best Picture, but it did. I really didn't think War Horse was going to do it or any of the other candidates, but I really thought The Descendants would do it. And I'm very happy that The Artist won. I'm very happy that it was a very international, multicultural show. It's showing that Hollywood is growing. And I hope they continue, you know, their growth. Because we really need to grow. There are a lot more people in the world than just the, I hate to say it, but Caucasian people that they tend to cater to in the movies. I like to see more color in the movies. And it's time that they're starting to do that. And it's really nice that The Help was nominated for as many awards as it did. And Octavia Spencer got, you know, Best Supporting Actress. I mean, yeah, it's Best Supporting Actress. So let's hope that they keep this up. All right, movie news. A Good Day to Die Hard is still the incredible title of the fourth Die Hard sequel, currently scheduled to come out next year on Valentine's Day 2013. Yes, Die Hard 5 will feature Bruce Willis' son, John McClane, exported to Moscow for some post-Soviet shenanigans. EW has confirmed that 26th Century Fox has officially cast McClane's new sidekick, Jay Courtney, an Australian actor, and possibly missing Hemsworth's brother, who's best known for his shores on his role as Spartak Varro in Spartacus, will play McClane's estranged son, Jack. So look for that. Look for that. Also, it seems that development hell of Ghostbusters 3 has hit another hurdle. Dan Aykroyd confirming Bill Murray will not be part of the sequel. He doesn't want to come back. And so he's been holding on to this since 1999 when he wrote the draft for the script. Bill Murray's unwillingness has put the project in limbo because you can't have Ghostbusters without Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis. Even though you could use, his name just totally escapes me at the moment, Rick Moranis, but he wasn't really a Ghostbuster. So the project is on hold. They're not really sure what to do with it. And hopefully they will be able to talk Bill into coming back and reprising his role, since Bill hasn't really done anything in the last 3 years. That's noteworthy. Also, Disney is in talks with writer-director Chris Weitz, who wrote About a Boy, to do a live-action version of Cinderella. The studio bought a pitch for the project from The Devil Wears Prada writer Arlene Brosh McKenna in 2010. At the time, it was reported that the deal was worth $1 million. And Waltz was nominated with an Academy Award, says that he would love to direct. Also, Disney is setting Edgar Wright to direct the Night Stalker remake of the ABC series starring Johnny Depp as Carl Kolchak. Depp will star with partner, Depp will star in the show, which is based on Kolchak, who investigated strange and weird stuff for the newspaper. So it should be really good. Hopefully, if it's done right, it should be excellent, because that was a great series. I just, you know, loved it. Johnny Depp will cover tabloid cases that led to supernatural preparators, including zombies, vampires, werewolves, and aliens. and also his editor, who didn't believe him, still printed it. Also, if salmon fishing doesn't sound like your ideal of a good time, then clearly you've never tried it with Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt in tow. Yes, the two actors will star in Salmon Fishing in Yemen, upcoming CBS film drama based on the novel written by Paul Torty. Salmon Fishing centers on Dr. Fred Jones, who will be played by McGregor, a scientist hired to introduce salmon fishing into the highlands of Yemen. In the following, Jones tells the alluring Blunt all about the new form of bait that takes its name from a beautiful source. So, you know, you can't go wrong with Ewan McGregor. The man cries very, very well, and he's got a beautiful voice. Also, 6 years after Viacom and CBS split, a dispute was erupted that calls into question how the companies intermingle properties during their time together and unwinding assets thereafter. At stake are the rights to develop adaptations of James Patterson's novel, The Virgin. Questions posed in the new lawsuit filed on Tuesday in California federal court is whether rights passed through Paramount Pictures will remain with Viacom or whether the rights still belong to the CBS Corporation, which is a spun-off from Viacom in 2006. So we will look forward to that. Also, excuse me, hunky acting god, Idris Elba, who was in Takers. Also, he was in Ghost Rider, Revenge of the Spirits. Don't hold that against him. He's also very good in Luther, a BBC series that is showing on BBC America. If you want to catch it, he's great. He is going to be starring as the President of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, in a show and a movie called The Long Walk to Freedom. The story will be span Mandela's life in prison, and the project is going to be exciting, and it should be out next summer. The autobiography written by Nelson Mandela himself, which highlights his early life, coming to age, education, and 27 years in prison, will also be in the movie. And let's see, what else do we have? Ooh, jeez. We have all kinds of stuff. And at 7:35, once again, you're here with DJ Misty, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And my voice is going again. I don't know why this happens, but it does. Anyway, let's see. Disney has tapped William Fincher to replace Dwight Yoakam in Lone Ranger. He will play the bad guy that Yoakam was set to take on before the actor-singer dropped out due to scheduling conflicts. Fincher is in. He just completed his new movie with Sony, starring Matt Damon and Jodie Foster, as well as Phantom opposite Ed Harris and David Duchovny. Fincher ripped rep by Paragon, an international artist management, will make his directing debut with the indie Colebrook after wrapping Lone Ranger. So look for that at a theater near you. Once again, it is almost 20 to 8, and this is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu, losing her voice yet again. But I'm going to take a break, play a song, get some water, and come back. Yes, that was Nine Inch Nails, Closer. Let's see. Sorry, brain fart. This happens when you're all by yourself in the room and you gotta concentrate and yet you can't because sometimes you just get distracted. Anyway, I always do wacky news at the end of the show, and I'm going to do wacky news now because this is kind of wacky and it's kind of sad at the same time. For all you who have ever seen Blade Runner, and I'm sure everyone out there has seen it, and if you haven't, my God, you need to. Remember beautiful Sean Young? She had such hopes. And it's like, what happened? What happened? Well, as I said earlier in the show, and as you can see, my voice is getting a little better. The Oscars were this weekend. And you never hear about this, but there was 10 people arrested at the Oscars this past on Sunday. Sean Young was one of them. And she wants an apology because she was just appalled. Well, you know, Sean Young was arrested. The celebrity rehab veteran was charged with misdemeanor battery following an altercation with a security guard outside the governor's ball on Sunday. She's demanding an apology. If you go to her Facebook page, you will see this posted. I just want everyone to know that I was sober, extremely well behaved, when a very stupid security guard went postal on me, and then the Academy's very stupid lawyer recommended a private person's arrest. Now, I have grounds for a lawsuit against the Academy, although I believe a public apology to me would be much better. I'm okay, and I have Hollywood Police Station support who very carefully and kindly photographed the bruises on my arms, which the guard is responsible for. Yes, well, it sounds like she showed up at the governor's ball and she didn't have a ticket to get in. But she just assumed, because she is Sean Young and she was in Blade Runner, and at this moment I can't think of anything else she was in because she's kind of gone off the rails, she'd get in. But let's see, and when she couldn't, they arrested her and asked her politely to leave. And I believe she threw a little scene, even though she doesn't say she did. But rumor has it she did. So she says that she did strike the guard. And they said, no, you have to leave. Young told People Magazine, I started to leave and the guard grabbed my arm and he started pulling me. I turned around and I was pulling my arm away and I struck him. You know, when Sacha Baron Cohen spilled ashes on Ryan Seacrest, I thought that was funny. But Sean Young, this is just sad. Really, really sad. The actress was placed under a citizen's arrest because she slapped a guard. She didn't have a ticket to get in and she really shouldn't have been there in the first place. So anyway, that was my wacky news for today. They're going to get to box office charts and what's playing where and what you should see. And as I said in the beginning part of the show, spring break is next week. We will not be on. So if you're going to be out there and you're listening, you want something good to go see, let's see what's in town. Let's see what's playing. Let's see what you might want to see. Well, for all you 12 to, let's make it a little higher. Let's go 15 to 25. You have Project X, the movie about three high school seniors throwing a birthday party to make a name for themselves. As the night progresses, things spiral out of control, and as the word of party spreads. So, this is directed by Todd Phillips, who did The Hangover. It looks, I don't know. I'm not 15. I'm not a high school senior, so I can't really relate. But it looks like it's just terror on screen. So, go and see it if you want. Anyway. We also have, for the little ones, Dr. Seuss's The Lorax. 12-year-old boy searches for the one thing that will enable him to win the affection of the girl of his dreams. It's always for a girl. To find it, he must discover the story of The Lorax, a grumpy yet charming creature who fights to protect his world. So, if you go and see that, just remember it's a kid's film. And don't listen to what Fox says, that it's some liberal jarbish that's going to teach you that, you know, everyone else is wrong and they are right. Basically, it's about fair share and taking care of those who are most important to you and the world that you live in, taking care of it so you can continue to live in it. I don't see anything wrong with that, but evidently the people at Fox seem to. So, and they're fair and unbiased. So we'll just keep that one on reins. Also, we have Snowtown Murders. Based on true events, 16-year-old Jamie falls in with his mother's new boyfriend and his crowd of self-appointed neighborhood watchmen, a relationship that leads to a spree of torture and murder. This indie film is playing at a theater next to you. Well, not next to you, but near you. Hopefully, it will be it's going to be limited to release, but if you go and see it in word of mouth, we'll get it worldwide release. So the indie films need help just as much as the big screen motion pictures that most of the time is a big screen budget that goes nowhere and you wasted your $650 for nothing. But you got to support the indie films because that is truly where it's at. And that's where you're really going to see the most enduring, the most educated, the most heartfelt, mind-thinking, eye-popping, just stuff that really sits with you later on instead of Transformers that you really realized, really, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Also, The Salt of Life, a comedy based on just the extracurricular love life of some kids. So go and see that. We also have another indie film called Boy, set in the East Coast of New Zealand in the year of 1984. A boy, an 11-year-old kid, and devoted Michael Jackson fan, gets a chance to know his father, who has to return to find a bag of money he buried years ago. And the last indie film is going to be a documentary called The Last Days Here. Documentary follows Bobby Liebing, lead singer of Assembly hard rock heavy metal band Pentagram, as he battles decades of hard drug addiction and personal demons to try to get his life back in order. And if you missed it last week, you have Wanderlust. I don't understand why they're still giving Jennifer Aniston movie roles, because all she does are these rom-coms, and half the time she's not even funny. And she's always playing Rachel. So anyway. Also, Good Deeds is playing. Businessman Wesley Deeds is jolted out of his scripted life where he meets Lindsay, a single mother who works on the cleaning crew in his office building. And we have Gone, which opened last week. Also, Act of Valor and The Forgiveness of Blood. And let's see. I have a visitor in the office. Avery Jaffe is here setting up for Do It Live, coming to you from 8 to 9 tonight. So please check that out. And for all you people, once again, spring break is next week. So if you're looking for some DVDs to rent, we have Puss in Boots, J. Edgar, Tower Heist, London Boulevard, and Son of No One. Yes, J. Edgar is out, available for DVD and Blu-ray. And also, you have Johnny English, Hugo, and Track 29. So check those out. All right, we're coming on up to almost 9:02. So let's get to another song while DJ Jaffe sets up. And once again, this is radio.dominican.edu, coming to you with DJ Misty.
Just working on through the We must be working for the skin trade. The reason for this strange behavior in exploitation's name. We must be working for the skin trade.
And yes, that is Duran Duran with Skin Trade. Whatever happened to those guys? They were so good. Anyway, we're getting on up to the 8 o'clock hour. And tune in for Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. And we're going to do the top 20 Box Office Mojo hits. Number one, coming to number one this week is actor Valor. Coming in number two is Safe House. Tyler Perry's Good Deeds, The Vow, is number four. Coming to number five, This Means War. That's kind of sad. Poor Reese. Number six, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. You know, Nick has a tax debt, so go out there and help him. Number seven is Wanderlust. Number eight, Journey to the Mysterious Island. And our best picture and best actor vote is The Artist, coming at number nine. Gone is number 10. That kind of bomb. Chronicle is number 11. We have The Secret World of Artery. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but anyway, that came at number 12. Hugo, number 13. 14 is The Descendants. Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace is going to be number 15. And my boy Daniel Radcliffe's The Woman in Black coming in at number 16. Best Actress Academy Award winner Meryl Streep and The Iron Lady is number 17. The Gray, number 18. Red Tails, number 19. George is in the top 20. And Big Miracle is in its number 20. Well, that's going to do it for me, folks. I'm going to play my signature song out. Please stay tuned for Do It Live with Avery Jaffe. And make sure I said your name right. He's standing right here preparing himself for his show. And have a wonderful week off, everyone. Take care and see you in a week. See you in 2 weeks, actually.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging.